Good evening, everybody. Welcome to this meeting of Rydale District Council's Planning Committee. We are not expecting a fire alarm tonight, so if it does sound, it is for real. Please leave the building at the rear doors or at the door to my right and congregate in the top car park. Ladies and gents, toilets are in the corridor along with the water. Please can you ensure your mobile phones are switched off or on silent. We do have a number of speakers tonight. Each speaker will have 3 minutes, and I will give an audible warning when there are 30 seconds left. Do all members have a copy of the agenda papers? Yeah. Lovely. We'll move on to the agenda. Agenda item one, apologies for absence. Do we have any apologies?
Apologies have been received from Councillor Maud. Councillor Wainwright will substitute.
Thank you. Minutes of the meeting held on the 1st of August. They're on pages 3 to 7 on the agenda. Do you agree that these are a correct record? Thank you. They've been moved and moved by Councillor Mrs. Shields and seconded by Councillor Hope. I'll put those to the vote. Mrs. Shields, have you voted? Thank you. That's 7-4 and 3 abstentions. They have been approved. Declarations of interest are agenda item 4. Are there any members with the declarations? Councillor Cleary.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Items 9 and 10 have been lobbied on both personal, non-prejudicial, non-pecuniary.
Councillor Windrus.
Been lobbied on the TPO, and items 9 and 12 have been lobbied both personal and non-prejudicial.
Thank you. Councillor Mrs. Goodrick.
Thank you, Chairman. Yes, thank you. I've been lobbied on the TPO and on item 9, I think it is, with the chalets at Wombleton. And also I should declare at this point that I am a member of the North Yorkshire County Council, and I should probably think carefully about how I treat the minerals and waste stuff.
Thank you. Councillor Hope.
Yeah, thank you, Chairman. The TPO item 5 and also item 9, the land at Wombleton, personal non-pecuniary.
Thank you. Councillor Miss Andrews.
Been lobbied on agenda item number 9, personal non-pecuniary.
Thank you. Councillor Mrs. Shields.
Lobbied on number 5, number 7, and number 9, personal not prejudicial.
Thank you. Councillor Jean Udine.
I've been lobbied on the TPO, personal non-pecuniary.
Thank you. I'd like to register that I have a personal non-prejudicial interest and have been lobbied on item 5, and a family member lives on the same row as item 12. Move on to agenda item 5, the report of the Tree Preservation Order Working Party, pages 8 to 59 on your agenda.
Right, thank you, Madam Chairman. I think all members should be in possession of two letters which we received by email this morning. One is actually a copy of an earlier letter dated the 7th of July, and the other letter from the landscape design company author Rosemary Ritchell Mitchell, dated the 29th of August, and they were emailed to all members, I believe, with the exception of Councillor Joy Andrews, who I think has got her hard copy, so all members are in possession of that. I'm not going to repeat all of the information that's in the report before you, Chairman, because obviously there are members of the working party who actually went to the site with the company of the policy manager and also Don Davis, who's also with us tonight. Now, Don is our specialist in relation to landscaping and trees, and I thought it would be helpful if members who weren't part of that group had any particular questions, then Don would be in a position to answer those particular questions for you. So without further ado, I don't really want to add anything more to the report at this stage and open that out to members of the committee who are on that working party.
Councillor Mrs. Shields.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Well, there were three of us who actually went to the site inspection, which was very useful. And we spent some time there learning about the various points on which tree, which has been given a temporary preservation order, has to be estimated and then evaluated, and the points, as it were, almost are tied up at the end. And this is something which is throughout country for all trees or tree and have to be examined on these particular points. We went to the memorial. I've been there many a time, and of course in November, as I have no doubt many local members will have been as well. But we actually managed to get onto the island, the memorial island, and we sat down. And we're very grateful for the help that our tree officer gave us in going through the various items and the various points that have to be considered by anyone having a TPO on a tree in order to make sure that it goes through or doesn't go through correctly. And tonight, this is the time, this is the final decision, and we as a committee and those of you who weren't there will also have to make your minds up as to whether you think it should be continued and made permanent or whether in fact it should be cancelled. It is only about the tree this time. I say this because it was told us, and it's quite clear from all the papers we've got, that there was an application for changing, altering, renewing the area around the memorial in about 2015. I wasn't actually on the committee at this time, but I know that this is what happened to it. So we were looking at this tree and deciding whether, in fact, what the officer was saying and the judgment he was given was giving were actually going to be accurate. The tree, is it something of immunity, for the town as a whole? Well, it stands in a quite remarkable place at the top of Yorkers Gate. It also links on to the York Road coming in. And there are three roads there, of course, the third road going down towards the market. All those three sort of converge on this island. It is really something of strong visual impact because you can see it whichever way you're coming, when you come around the corner from York or whether you're coming up to the memorial, it's very obviously visible. It is a large tree. It has been estimated to be about 90 years old and, in fact, is likely to go on for another half century or so like this. You've got a picture there. I had a coloured picture of it a bit later on, which shows the memorial. Oh, there it is, that's right, set with the tree behind it. And I'll speak about that in a moment. All the trees around are of similar size. If you look at both sides of the road, all some at the end of gardens, backs of houses and so on, are huge. And it is sort of in keeping with the rest of the trees. The impact, as one or two people have stressed to me already, is really quite enormous. Now, whilst it's visible, some have complained that, of course, it is going to be dangerous for vehicles, high-sided vehicles coming along the road, the main road going through into Moulton. But I think since the tree has been there for practically a century, it's not really going to matter a great deal, I think, very much at all. Now, looking at the actual tree itself and the state of it, it has been given a sort of satisfactory pass by our officer. It's not the best of trees, but it's the sort of second best, and that counts actually as a satisfactory one. There are branches in it, pieces of branch, which will have to be removed. I have two very large copper beeches in my garden. One of them is at least as old as this, if not older. And every year, there are bits of dead branches which come off. And that means that a tree needs to be kept in good condition by actually making sure that if there are branches, these are dealt with so they're not dangerous, and so the rest of the tree continues to flourish. We looked and I saw one or two of the sort of dead bits and so on, which will have to come off. But in fact, it's quite, as I say, it's quite a normal thing. Now, people who want to remove it say that it is not really enhancing the memorial. But if you see it from this way, and I don't know whether you've had a copy of the, with in blue it is at the background, of the memorial against the tree, it almost actually enhances it. The cross stands out very clearly against the tree, and it looks superb. A lot will have to be done, actually, to the tree if it's going to stay, because it, the paving around it is fairly rough. That was going, I think, to be a subject of the original application, so that, in fact, better paving could go down, but also that some particular kind of work, and I'm sure our officer will tell me, all of you, in a moment, what it is that you can put around a tree to preserve it without actually making difficulties for anybody who wants to be walking around, going onto the memorial, and sitting on the benches there. So we found, and the three of us who were at the meeting, one is away, we thought that the tree was really an integral part of this island, and that it would be a very great shame if, in fact, it were taken down. As long as it is treated properly and looked after, then it is something which I believe, if the majority of people in Moulton had heard about this, I believe there might well have been an outcry if, in fact, we decide it's not going to stay there, and that another tree possibly could go in it, a smaller one, or that maybe in one diagram I have, it's got two or three possible trees around the place. The improvements to the memorial generally will certainly be welcomed. It's going to be good. Better access, steps and so on, try and make a slope and so on, and obviously the railings, which were removed some while ago, are, I gather, going to be replaced. So this will, in fact, enhance the whole thing. So we came to the conclusion that, in fact, in the general interests of not just the tree, but of the people, all those who come to that memorial every year quite regularly, and for others who probably go on a personal visit anyhow at any time, because there must be great, at least great grandfathers or great grandparents or even great great grandparents now, who were interested in putting that tree in the first place. I don't think it matters whether it was self-seeded, all things do happen like this, or whether somebody actually planted it in the aftermath of the First Great War. But the thing is, it has been there, it has grown, and it is, I believe, a very important part, and we all felt that, and that we therefore are hoping that you will not wish to remove this tree, but to keep it. And I therefore will propose, if I may, Madam Chairman, that the preservation order continues and is made permanent. And I refer to our officer if he would like to fill in further details. But I would like it seconded first, please.
Councillor Hope.
Yeah, thank you, Chairman. Can I leave my recommendation till the rest of the meeting is spoken?
Yes, of course. Anybody? Councillor Mrs. Goodrick.
I'm happy to second Councillor Sue's suggestion.
Don, would you like to come back on the question about the surfacing around the tree, please?
Okay, yeah. The original application to deal with the area around the memorial and the tree included resurfacing because it's a sort of crazy paving surface. It's been there for some time and it's a little bit uneven. And there are solutions, patent solutions, and one of which is to remove carefully by hand the paving, and obviously the roots, the important feeding roots of the tree will be probably directly underneath the paving. And there's likely to be some hardcore in there, but most of that could be left untouched, and so you preserve the roots as they are and then put some geotextile down to protect them, and then it's a resin based porous surface that is applied, which obviously will be smooth, so I think that's what was proposed in the planning application, be smooth and will allow water to go through rather than at present time it will go through the cracks, but a lot of it will be it's a sort of semi-permeable air at the moment, so that was the solution that was agreed at the time, if that answers the question.
Does any other member wish to speak? Councillor Mrs. Burr.
Thank you, Chairman, and first of all could I thank Councillor Shields. Although it's my ward, I think you did an admirable job of summing up what you felt regarding the tree. I'm not a member of the TPO working party, so you councillors went and you gathered all the information that was required. I cast my mind back probably some 20 years ago when I first started on the planning committee, and one of my very, very first endeavours was to save a tree from being felled on Old Moulton Gate. And I still have the belief that trees are needed in semi-urban areas, and I do think that the tree actually does enhance this area. However, I am aware that some work needs to be done on it, and I think that it does need the overhanging branches, and I think it needs thinning, and I'm not a tree expert, but I can tell just by looking that it needs some work doing. So going back to what Councillor Mrs. Shields said, would the people of Moulton? Well, I actually went and asked a few people in Moulton what they felt about this. It was just a general question of how do you feel if the tree was taken out, and The majority of the people really respected the area and really had high regard for the memorial. And, you know, when we go up there every single year, and other people go up intermittently in the year. And what most people said to me, straw poll, 100 people, 72% said, "Oh, no, we don't want to be cutting trees down in Moulton." So if we can get round all the other issues, and thank you very much to our officer for telling us about how we protect and the roots, etc. So my feeling is, having asked what people think, there was an overall majority to keep the tree. So that is what I go by, the overall majority. So I will be supporting that.
Thank you. Any other councillor? Councillor Mrs. Goodrick.
Thank you, Chairman. The tree's been here certainly longer than I have, and it'll be here after I've gone, I suspect. So for me, all trees need to be managed, and I think probably part of the problem is it hasn't been managed in some considerable time. And I have significant trees in and around my home, and I have to manage them, and I have to get specialists in to do it. And I think this will probably benefit from being managed properly by a qualified tree surgeon to come and sort it out. And I think if we can find a compromise solution so that the War Memorial Committee can achieve their goals and keep the tree, that for me is the best and most satisfactory outcome of this meeting.
Councillor Mr. Dillindres.
Can I just ask Dom a question? You say about the resin going down. Will the tree roots eventually lift that, like they are doing the stone at the moment?
I think it has some flexibility in it. But it's certainly more flexible than the current crazy paving. Yeah.
But it would still make it uneven?
Potentially in the very long term. It's not my area of speciality, though.
Right.
I mean, the thing is that the tree will benefit from that, because obviously it will be getting water directly rather than being in this concrete pot between all the roads.
Yeah. Yeah. Just can I come back? Because my view is, if tree roots are lifting the stones now, I can't really see the point in spending a lot of money to revamp the War Memorial. I mean, the common sense approach, in my view, would be to take down the existing tree, revamp the War Memorial, and put in place a smaller tree, and put a TPO on that. Because what young people need to remember is how their freedom was won, and a historical war memorial should have much more value than one tree, is my view. So,
thank you. Councillor Hope, would you like to?
Yeah, thank you, Chairman. It's beneficial to let everybody else have a say first. In my career, I've taken many dozen trees down, which often goes against the grain, because I like to see trees. This one, yes, it does need some work doing at it. I think we'll all agree on that. But I couldn't see that area there without it. And it's going to see everybody out, dare I say it, in this room. I think it's there for a long time, and I think with good management, it can be kept going on. So I will be supporting the application. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Cleary.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I'm sorry to put a fly in the ointment, but I like trees as much as anybody else, even sycamores, which I understood when I was learning about trees that the only good thing about sycamores was that they kept rabbits and deer off other trees. In my opinion, and it is my opinion, it actually detracts from the War Memorial. I think I hear what we say about managing it, and it certainly has suffered from lack of management in the past. I suspect, in my own opinion, it's gone too far. And the proposal to take it down and replace it with a different species, possibly better sited, possibly even two or three smaller trees, would enhance the War Memorial. So I'm afraid I can't support this.
Thank you. Well, it has been moved and seconded for the recommendation to confirm the tree preservation order, so I will put that to the vote. That's 8-4 and 2 against, so the tree preservation order is confirmed. Agenda item 6 is the schedule of items to be determined by the committee on pages 60 to 61.
except the ones.
We know it is.
It's what?
A legacy. Agenda item 7, application for land adjacent to 42 Vine Street, Norton, pages 62 to 77 on your agenda.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I'm conscious that this was also a site visit the same morning, I think, as the TPO working party. In fact, we went to this site first. I'll just quickly, for the benefit of members who couldn't attend the site visit, just quickly run through some photos, which I did run through at the last meeting, Chairman, but just quickly run through these. So this is the this is Vine Street. So it's heading, we've already turned into Vine Street off Commercial Street to this point here. And as those members who visited the site will recall, Vine Street is characterised by terrace properties that abut directly onto the footway in the main, and Vine Street just stops. There's no proper turning head at the end of Vine Street. It's just a wall. And as you proceed along Vine Street on this particular side, as you approach the end of Vine Street, members who are on the site visit will recall then there was a terrace of four properties that turn through 90 degrees and enter into the depth of the site. And this is where the access way, in fact it's from here, this point here, would go into the rear and the depth of the site. And those members who were on the site visit here will recall, when I show you the photographs in a moment, the adjacent listed stone property, which is adjacent to the back of the site, and also the blank rear wall of the building that's known locally as Athol Square. And this is looking back the other way along Vine Street, and even at this time of the day, you can see that there's on-street parking either side of the road. I think there's some discussion about that at the last meeting. And obviously at the time of our visit, which was roughly 9 o'clock in the morning, you know, there was still some parking on the street. It wasn't dissimilar to what we were looking at here. This was the way we walked into the site, which was across the front doorways of the four existing dwellings, which are currently vacant, and into the depth of the site, which is currently very overgrown. And this is the curtilage of the adjacent listed property. And this is a close-up of the property. I think this photograph is fairly accurate of what we found on the site. It was a bit of a battle to walk around it, to be honest. But obviously, it's a site that has not been tended that well in the recent past. The proposed, although the application is in outline, the proposal proposes access and siting, and the site of the three dwellings is roughly in this area here, aligning slightly to the rear of the existing listed building in order to not dominate it. And the line of the buildings, which again the location plan shown on page 68 of your agenda papers, shows that the gap from the flank wall of the nearest dwelling to the flank wall of this dwelling, which is pretty much the site boundary, is around about 3 metres. And this is just panning around. That's more of a detail of the back of Athol Square, which members will recall has got no openings in it. It's a single aspect building. And this is looking back the other way across the site towards Vine Street. Now, in this area here, the access way would come into an open parking turning area, which would provide a car parking space for each of the existing plus the proposed three dwellings. And I think members will recall that it was mentioned on the site that the access point would have to remain open as a result of that, so it sort of was providing an informal potential turning space at the end of the road. So that was it, Chairman. No other updates, and happy to answer any questions if any arise.
So would Angela Gare like to come and speak?
Good evening. I've made my objections clear before about this development, but since then I've thought of two other things that worry me. Where the current buildings are going to be is going to block out light at the back of my property and also the back of the cottage adjacent to mine. That's something that I hadn't thought about before, because if they're going to be like the existing cottages, the roof line is actually quite tall, so they will, you know, impact a lot at the back of both of our properties. Secondly, I'm worried about they'll obviously have to dig foundations and stuff. And both of our cottages are very old. And I don't think my cottage actually has foundations or whatever. I know the building sort of shakes a little bit when heavy traffic goes past on Scarborough Road. So from that point of view, I would be very worried about, you know, what would what impact the building work would actually have on my cottage and possibly on the other cottage as well. I have no objection in principle to the land being built on. Lord knows something's got to be done with it. But I would have thought that two low-level... they could put two really nice low-level cottages or bungalows on that land, each with a nice garden and a driveway for a car each, not two each. And that's really a big objection for me, is the sheer number of parking spaces they're proposing to put on that plot, which will impact noise-wise and pollution-wise. And that's it. That's all I've got to say. Thank you.
Thank you.
Just very briefly, just to point out that the plan on page 68 does make it clear that it's one car parking space for each dwelling. It's one space per new dwelling plus one space per existing dwelling. In terms of the additional points raised, which that's the first time I've heard those tonight, it just seems to me that construction concerns are very much a comment we very often get in relation to planning applications. There's nothing before us to suggest that the physical proximity of the nearest part of the construction works here for the third dwelling are so proximate to the boundary that that should be an issue. In terms of construction works for the buildings themselves, aside from the actual excavation of the footing itself, that's probably the only thing that would require any digger or thing of that nature to go to the back of the site. And the parking and access areas are some way clear of the house that is in the side of the picture on the screen there. In terms of light at the back of the houses, I mean, clearly impact in terms of lack of or impact in terms of loss of sunlight and daylight is a planning consideration. I think that's something we looked at actually on the site visit when we stood behind the back of the building, if you remember, and just panning from here, this is the listed building, so clearly the design of the scheme is in part designed to keep the dwelling away from that principal facade, which was why the gap is shown here and why the actual footprint of the building was set as far back on the site as the plan shows it. There is this rear wing here, which, although single story to my mind, if you look again at page 68, would actually have quite a screening effect already in its own right relating to the existing remaining part of the rear garden, which is further to the east. So in my view, I don't think the amenity impact or the additional amenity impact of a two-storey pair of buildings here would be that great on the curtilage beyond this single-storey outshop.
Are there any questions for the officer? Councillor Miss Andrews.
When we went for the site visit, there was the pathway that had the chain over. There was a drive and pathway. You mentioned it briefly at the beginning. It is part of the site. I think we were waiting sort of to see whether it was. Would that have any? Would it just make the access wider, or would it give the dwellings that are already there but are empty slightly more yard?
Any further questions? No, I'll go to the local member, Councillor Mrs. Shields.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Well, yes, we did have a site inspection, and we did go about 9 o'clock in the morning to see what the traffic would look like. I went back the following day about 7 o'clock, and it looked rather different, head to tail, all the way down the part which we're talking about. In the first part where the road comes off Commercial Street, of course, they're only allowed to park on one side, and there's quite a bit of competition to get your car on that particular side. But down the area where all the construction work is going to have to go, and where, if there are three buildings, I think there's no way that one could actually limit a dwelling to saying you can only have one car, because unfortunately, you know, they sure have families and they get cars at 17 and 18. I didn't get mine until I was about 30, but most of them can get cars a lot earlier, and therefore this is likely to happen. Now, it is a large piece of ground. It is. It's very untidy. It needs something doing with it. But the main point, and I did go up and down the street afterwards to see as many people as I could to find their reaction to it. The people at the near end, where you come in off the Commercial Street and going round to your left, were a bit concerned because the cluster of vehicles there normally meant that very large vehicles coming up the road, for example the refuse collection vans, had difficulty in turning. But otherwise, they were not too bothered. It is the people at the end who are going to be near those four cottages, which you say are very small, have got very little space behind them. And yet, of course, those cottages are going to lose practically all the kind of yard or garden they already have in order to make way for the access. Now, I don't think, looking at one of them, you could do much more than put up a small sort of whirligig, you know, for washing. And you really couldn't sit out and enjoy very much if your road is going straight past your windows there. And I think, as somebody said, the best thing to do, actually, with those four cottages wouldn't appeal to the person who's putting in for this, but would be to destroy them. And in fact, make a really good car park for the whole of Vine Street. And there were people who agreed and thought that would be a very good idea for everyone. But most of the concerns I met with were because of the importance of access to the properties, to the ones already there up the end, near the brick wall, which is right at the end, as you know, of the road. Getting to them and also getting into the new proposals, the new houses. The ambulance was quoted two or three times to me because in the last month, that'll be now in July, when there was need for an ambulance and one neighbour had gone to call for one for an elderly neighbour, the ambulance could not get up the road because it was evening and because all the traffic was there. And so they took a bed up from the bottom where the corner is and wheeled the lady, got her in the bed and wheeled her all the way down the road. Mm-hmm. Luckily, that was a fine evening. Couldn't be so much fun, would it, if it was wet. And then the question of the fire engine. That's something else which is main. And obviously, after all the problems we know and the disaster and the tragedy in London, and the idea that sprinklers are going to solve the whole question. I have tried to find out just what a sprinkler looks like. I assume it's not just something you hold in your hand and go like this, you know, as you might do on firework day. But the thing is, how effective are they? Because it's really been determined that it's very unlikely that a fire engine could get down there in time to save anybody. If the road, as it is, as I saw it that evening, the other evening, the evening after it was, is so cluttered with traffic and cars. And thirdly, there are the refuse collections. And those, again, the vans frequently cannot get down. They cannot turn round. And so what happens is that the men on the refuse collection van will go down and they will collect the bins from the people who have put them out, and they'll empty them, but they won't take them back. I do not think that is part of their job. That's not a criticism. It's just not that they're supposed to do that. Usually you've got a bin out and it's just on your own property or right by the edge of it, and so there was no problem. But apparently, on more than one occasion, then these have got to be taken back. And older people, and some of them towards the end are older people, who have got to come down and collect their own bins again. It seems to me that whilst I know the ground needs developing and something happening to it, that this is really going to be an overdevelopment of what is a very crowded street. And frankly, whilst I was thinking it would be a good idea to have one or two more houses, we've had dozens and dozens and dozens of houses added to Norton in the last 4 or 5 years. And I do wonder whether, in the long run, it is going to be more of a disaster than a profit to anybody to have houses built there. And having given it much thought since the 2 weeks when we had our site inspection, I do not think that I'm going to be able to approve it. I would not like to live down there and feel that the ambulance couldn't reach me or the fire brigade or whatever. So I'm sorry, I'm not going to support this, and I leave it to everyone else to see what they feel about this. Thank you, Madam Chairman.
Thank you. Councillor Mrs. Burr.
Thank you, Chairman. I wasn't at the site visit. I don't need to go to the site visit. As you all know, I used to live there many, many years ago. All for housing. That's something that we aspire to get in this area. We need our young people to have their own houses. But like I said at the last meeting, I'm not for housing at any cost. I've got a very, very strong personal view regarding this cul-de-sac. As I said at the last meeting, there was a fire there. The fire brigade couldn't get down. Admittedly, there were no sprinklers, but it was a nightmare. I think it's bad policy, bad decision, bad for the refuse collectors, bad for the ambulances and bad for the fire services. The fire report that we've got in front of us says that there's no compliance with B5 section 11, which that's absolutely true, but then they do say that they would recommend sprinklers. I know exactly what sprinklers look like. They're absolutely fine. However, a sprinkler isn't the be-all and end-all, and you know, we have to think about the bins and we have to think about the ambulances. And another thing that I was thinking about that I didn't say at the last meeting was that if you've ever had any building work done at your own house or you've watched a building site, you only have to see all the disruption of how the tradesmen, the vehicles, the large wagons that come down with the bricks, etc. It causes absolute chaos, and many people say, well, you know you put up with that because at the end you're going to have the houses. But there is a significant problem in Vine Street. It's not my ward. I'm just thinking about those poor residents that live there, and I just honestly feel, and I said it at the last meeting, that I could never support anything. I don't agree with Councillor Shields saying that the person who has the three dwellings should give it up for car parking. I don't think that. I think that it's just a piece of land that is like land grabbing, and this is just unfortunately not the site. I'm sure it'll get approved tonight, but just think about those people. We all don't live down there. We all don't live down that street, but those people do, and I think it's going to be an absolute nightmare for them. So I haven't changed my stance. I won't be supporting this.
Thank you. Councillor Mrs. Goodrick.
Thank you, Chairman. I'll be perfectly frank. You know, I don't like what's in front of us. However, at the end of the day, when I reflect on the planning training we have received, unfortunately, consideration for access by ambulances, fire vehicles and bin lorries wasn't there. I can't find a reason to say no. As much as I don't like it, and I'm like you, Councillor Shields, I've knocked those four houses down and developed the site properly, but I cannot find enough in here to say no that will not land us in trouble. We can't consider whether it, the highways have said that they are perfectly happy with it. We're often told, and I often disagree. But that doesn't mean I can change it. And I'm like you. I don't like it, but I can't find enough in here to say no.
Councillor Cleary.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Yes, slightly echoing my previous colleague there, it was tight. When we visited there, I was amazed that there weren't the number of vehicles that I could imagine that it could have been. However, on balance, this project will slightly improve the turning capacity at the end of that Vine Street. On balance, I think this is the best solution for this site. I can certainly echo what people opposite are saying and what people are living there might say about non-planning issues as in terms of possible disruption during construction. However, on balance, for planning purposes, I have to support this.
Councillor Miss Andrews.
Yes, I would just like to thank whoever recommended a site visit, because when I initially looked at the photographs and the plans, I didn't want to agree to this building happening. After seeing the site, it is much bigger than I actually thought, and it does provide a turning circle at the end of the street, albeit on the site. And the four dwellings that are there will have parking off the street as well, if it didn't go ahead and those buildings were eventually habitated, then they would have to park on Vine Street anyway. So I've changed my mind and I will be supporting this thing.
Thank you. Does anybody else wish to speak? Nobody has yet moved or seconded the recommendation.
Chairman, I'll move it.
Thank you. Councillor Clare.
I will second that.
Thank you. The recommendation has been moved and seconded, so I'll put that to the vote. That's 7-4, 2 against and 1 abstention, so the application has been approved. Agenda item 8, application at Cragside, Cranbeck, Welvham, pages 78 to 90 on your agenda.
Right, thank you, Chairman. There's not really an awful lot to add to the report other than to highlight the fact that the Highway Authority had requested two conditions which, if planning permission is granted tonight, would be required to be added to the recommended conditions on page 80, which include a vision display at the point of the entrance into the site and also a condition which would require the garage that's applied for not thence to be converted into domestic accommodation. It would still have to be used as a garage and not used for other purposes. I think it's probably easiest just to, if members can see the garage, the position on the garage on site shown on page 82, in fact, is a revised siting of the garage set slightly further back on the site. That was to meet the requirements of the Highway Authority. And for those of you familiar where Cranbeck is, you turn off the A64 into Cranbeck, which is a relatively new village, I'll call it, but you carry on past the new settlement down to the railway crossing and the river, and it's just at the bottom there where this pair of semi-detached properties exist, plus at least one other property before the crossing. And this photograph here shows the changing levels. Beyond this embankment is the new settlement of Cranbeck, and this is a very wide, what I'll call a driveway into the application site, and it's in this area here that the garage would be located, so slightly to the side but in advance of the front wall of the properties, which are set back slightly from the adjacent highway. As you approach the site, because of the changing levels, you wouldn't actually be aware of the garage until you got to the turning into the entrance, so it's quite well screened from that direction. So this is panning across, and you can see, if you can orient yourself on page 82, this is the front garden of the property with a sort of dry stone wall and hedging, and you can see an attractive pair of stone cottages. Probably almost Victorian in age. It's difficult to date them really, but they are that typical well-burned sort of slightly pale creamy yellow stone with a slate roof. Both of these properties have been renovated and look in very good order, and as you pan round to the rear, however, there's a rear extension which has been added, which you can't see from the street, but that's been added, which has still got the slate roof but has got a rendered wall with stone coin details, and it's that detail that's been brought forward in this application for the proposed garage. Panning round past the garages, you can then see at the end of the lane, just as it turns on towards where the railway crossing is, a very unusual, almost arts and crafts building. Slate roofs, buff coloured stone and brick, but you'll see there just to the side of that property there's a pyramidal roof garage with a stone and coin detail, so that there's quite a mix of materials just in the immediate locality. That's what it's about really. It's about the choice of materials, as you'll have noted from the committee report. The AOMB officer had made a suggestion that he felt that the front facing elevation of the building should be faced in stone, but didn't then carry that through to the rest of the building, which seemed a little odd, to be honest, because the flank wall of the building is probably the bigger elevation. The parish council had made similar comments. I think our view is that there is a mix of materials in the locality, and provided that the coins that are proposed for the garage, which would be a stone similar to what we're looking there, and probably a slightly darker coloured render, something more of the honey-coloured tones of the brickwork, of the stonework of the existing property, then that attention to detail would be acceptable. So it really is around that detail, Chairman. And members wish to, I was just going to say, look at the design and access statement. But again, you get more indication on the design and access statement that's appended to the report, Chairman. But on balance, we recommend approval.
Are there any questions for the officer? Councillor Hope.
Yeah, thank you, Chairman. I can't find what I was looking for, really, but there was one photograph we had of a ghosting of a red outlet, of outline of the garage.
That's a bit misleading, because it's where it was a sort of an estimation of where it was originally going to be proposed. It was part of the original submission. It's set further back now.
It's set further back now. That's all right, because if it had been where it was now, you'd have had cars parking nearly on the road.
Yes.
Yeah, that's all right. Sorry, I missed that. Thank you.
Any further questions? No, sure. I'll go to the local member, Councillor Cleary.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. There were two concerns. One was the proximity to the road, which we just accepted and understood that it's been pushed back to alleviating that. The other is of appearance. From preference, I would certainly prefer to see it all stone, but I think that's really looking at other designs and appearances in the immediate vicinity. I think really there isn't a single vernacular. So, I mean, a preference, I would say stone, but I think that's a personal preference that is really goes beyond the objects of the planning committee and planning legislation. So I will propose to agree to this as applied.
Councillor Goodrick.
Thank you, Chairman. I'm going to concur with Councillor Cleary's summation of the situation, provided the coins are done properly and it's a honey-coloured render. I can't see a problem with this. Like Councillor Cleary, I would have preferred to see it stoned, but that's obviously not going to be an option for us and we can't insist on it.
Okay, it has been moved and seconded with the two additional highway conditions, so I'll put that to the vote. That's unanimous and the application has been approved. Moving on to agenda item 9, application at land off Moorfields Lane, Wumbleton, pages 91 to 153 on your agenda.
Thank you. I'm conscious, I think, that we've got two speakers for this particular item, Madam Chairman, so I shan't steal the thunder of various individuals. Just a correction on page 94 of the report, Chairman. It should have said not XX third-party response, it should have said 6 third-party responses. In fact, we have also received a further letter today which again reiterates really the comments that we've received previously. There also is a requirement if members do follow the recommendation and approve the application tonight that members will have noted on the planning committee pages on page 93 that whilst the countryside management officer had no objection to the application, there was a condition required in relation to the existing and proposed landscaping scheme which needs to follow through into the decision, which I think it has actually. It's on condition 3, so I just wanted to confirm it was making reference to the same plan, Chairman, and I think it is. Right. The other clarification that I haven't been able to establish is in relation to the Parish Council's comments, which we haven't received. But the Parish Council meeting on the 6th of June earlier this year did actually consider this application, and I was able to review the minutes of that meeting earlier on today. And reading directly from their published web page, it says the Council was split as to whether to make any objections to this proposal. As it was a split decision, it is to be classed as no overall objection and the planners would be notified accordingly, Chairman. So that is the minuted decision of the Parish Council, is that they have no overall objection. Just to quickly acquaint members with the site, this is, get the location plan so I can direct you around it, Chairman, eventually. Sorry, I'm having trouble locating the plan. For some reason, my screen's gone blank. But the plan on page 98, thank you, Chairman. And so if you can see there that the extent of the land owned is shown in blue, and the application site is shown on page 98 as the red land, which is located in between it's Moorfields Lane and the adjacent main road, which is leading up onto the village. This is really irritating. Sorry, Chairman. And this is the adjacent roadway leading to the village. So as you can see, I parked my car there just to give you an indication of the width of the carriageway. So this is the southern edge of application site on its southwestern edge, so you get an idea of the height of the hedgerows. The reason I've also taken this shot here, this isn't the entrance to the site, but is the western edge of a concreted roadway which runs along the southern periphery of the site. What you do get here is an idea of how the road slightly rises as you head northwards. So the application site is in this area here. Panning back across from where I just took that photo, this view is of the concreted roadway, which is just outside the limits of the application site. So the application site is beyond this hedgerow here. And within that hedgerow, in fact, along the peripheries of most of this site, is a treble-planted screen of trees. I'll come into some closer photographs of that in a moment. So that metal gate, if you can just picture that in my mind, I was stood about halfway up that metal gate taking this photograph of the continued hedgerow on the boundary. And beyond it, you can see some of the trees that are already planted in the application site. And this is a view just panning down towards the southeastern corner of the site. And it's at this point here off Moorfields Lane that the access comes in into the application site. This is a view that you're probably more commonly aware of. This is the view down. So behind me is the road coming from Wombleton Village. This is the turning into Moorfields Lane. And if you carry on along that lane, the lane, which is quite wide at this point, tapers down to about 4 metres in width of carriageway. Panning across, this is the War Memorial area. And you can see, again, this is the nature of the hedgerows all the way around the periphery of the site. At this point here, we're on the northern point of the blue land. So you're some way north of the application site. But I hope that gives you an idea as to how you're on a slight high point at this point. So the application site is dropping away. So it's at the southern end of the site. This is the entrance point, which is on the eastern side, the southeastern side of the site. So behind me is the bungalow, which I think where Mr. Foster lives, who's going to speak in a moment. So from Moorfields Lane, we turn into the site here, and the entrance into the site is in this area here. So there'd be an entrance in through this hedgerow. That really isn't showing you an awful lot. This is the boundary hedgerow, but if you could see beyond that, there's planting beyond the hedgerow. You just can't sort of pick that up. But what you can see is one or two failures in amongst the planting. So that's it, Chairman. I'm now going to try and retrieve my iPad whilst the speakers speak.
We have an objector who would like to speak, William Foster.
Hello there. Mr. Billy Foster from the bungalow that isn't even viewed on the site. If it was, you'd see that we're less than 3 yards away. He's on about the trees growing up. The trees, when they grow up, they'll just block us out completely. I mean, he has a perimeter, but we have the full length of the perimeter. Another thing, the vehicles. We have, in our area, we've got 5 holiday places, 5 caravan sites. There's, down that road, there's Wumpton Caravan Park. It's just, in summertime, they're going up and down like nobody's business. I've got grandchildren coming. Now, they can't even play outside now. I don't know what they're going to do when. And the, about the, you're on about the environment. It's the environment thing. There's no public footpath round the site. There's no public footpath from the site to anywhere. There's no bus route. And but them pictures don't show the full thing. I would like you to go and have a site visit. You know, I'd recommend that if you can do. Now, before this application come up, we got an application from the caravan club where it was going to put caravans on. Well, they knocked it back because they said there's too many caravan sites. Now, if there'd been a log cabin, committee or somewhere like that, I'm sure they would have knocked it back as well. Now, when he first put this application in, we never saw one thing on any post. People were saying that every time that somebody put one in, it vanished. Now, what that tells you, you know, that's one another thing. Another thing is, I know you've had maybe 5, 10 letters. I know them. All our neighbours around that area have put an objection in. So why anybody says it can be approved, I do not know.
You've 30 seconds left.
Sorry?
You've got 30 seconds left.
Oh, there. It's not long, is it?
No, it's not.
Now, another thing, the water flow. Our water, every time the caravan uses the water, our flow, we can't even have a shower. Never mind, there's not a big hydrant down there. You want to have a look at going to the water board. We've got a pipe about that. I don't know where the water's coming from. So, it's not long.
Thank you.
Anyway.
Thank you.
I wish you would come and see the site, please.
Okay. Thank you.
Chairman, if members are able to look at page 101, which shows the layout of the site in relation to Moorfields Lane, you'll see opposite the entrance to the site there is the property called the Bungalow, which is where Mr. Foster lives. And to the south of that is the Wombleton Caravan Park, which is also you have had correspondence from. I think the point perhaps to pick out from the committee report have been particularly the requirements of the Highway Authority on this particular application, who have required two passing spaces to be provided by the applicant, one of which is on Moorfields Lane and one of which would be back on the main road back towards the village. That is, you know, something which has not been requested of any other operators down there, which is somewhat unusual, but the applicant has confirmed they're happy to provide those car passing spaces.
I have registered to speak the agent, Peter Webster.
Thank you, Chairman, members. This application seeks approval for 9 holiday lodges. Having discussed the issues with planning officers, the scheme has been recommended for approval because it is acceptable in both design and planning policy terms. The site is located within the open countryside and is therefore assessed under local plan policy SP8 tourism. This policy permits new holiday lodge accommodation, providing it has no undesirable impact on the character of the surrounding area. In the opinion of the applicant and your planning officers, the proposal fully complies with this policy because the single-storey lodges are of a scale and design that are appropriate for a rural setting. The design of the lodges and proposed landscaping is of a high standard. The site will not have a demonstrable impact on the character of the surrounding area. The holiday lodges will be occupied solely for tourism purposes, with limits on their use and occupation, and that the site provides an additional benefit for all through the provision of 2 vehicle passing places, one along Moorfields Lane and the other on Common Lane, as recommended by County Highways. As a rural retreat designed to provide a sense of peace and tranquility for visitors, attention has been given to producing a detailed planting scheme. This includes a mixture of tall trees to provide additional privacy and dense low-level vegetation planted between individual lodges. The proposed landscaping and tree belts will shield the site from public view. As a result, the development will have no detrimental impact on the surrounding area. The development will also provide economic benefits to the wider area by way of additional visitor trips, which will contribute to the local economy. And this would be through expenditure in local shops, pubs, restaurants, and other tourist attractions. This is recognised in paragraph 28 of the National Planning Policy Framework, which indicates that planning policy should support economic growth in rural areas in order to create jobs and prosperity. To conclude, this proposal provides a balanced development solution for this rural site. It is of an appropriate size and does not adversely affect neighbouring properties. Your officers have carefully considered this application and have recommended that the application is granted, as there are no outstanding issues, and that the application fully complies with national and local planning policies. I would urge you to look only at the facts of the case, listen to your officers, and approve the application. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any questions for the officer? Councillor Mrs. Burr.
Yes, thank you, Chairman. On page... I just can't quite see that. It's quite blurred. Anyway, neighbouring responses. There's actually quite a few neighbouring responses. And are those neighbouring responses negative or positive? Which I'm just not quite sure of that. So if you could just answer that.
Councillor Hope.
Yeah, thank you, Chairman. Point Mr. Foster brought up about being no footpaths or anything, and the narrow lanes. I think on viewing on that, I would like to propose a site visit.
I think these are matters of. I think. Can I confirm if there are any footpaths in the vicinity of the site? I'll turn that into a question for you. Try my best for you. No, there are no footpath links, and clearly that is a matter that the Highway Authority have responded to in their response on the basis that we're about 1.2 kilometres outside of the village. Having said that, we're in a locality which is already a tourism attraction area with the Wombleton Caravan Park and in fact the former scrapyard is being developed in that way, which was opposite this site. But nevertheless, it is in that sort of area of open countryside beyond the village, and the Highway Authority's response to this is, well, at the village there is then access to a bus service that potentially a holidaymaker could utilise, or this developer could promote travel plan or cycle hire or whatever it might be to assist in that connectivity. But it is without footway connections to the village. So it's a balance of response. That's what the Highway Authority have responded, is that, well, actually there's scope here for this development to improve the highway network for visitors visiting by providing two vehicle passing space, one on Moorfield Lane and one back towards the village for vehicles, and for this applicant to promote through a travel plan condition to visitors other ways of accessing sustainable transport by using cycling or giving them information relating to public transport. So it's a balanced decision, but there isn't a footpath.
So, Councillor Burr, did you? It's not a question. Okay. Any further questions? Councillor Wainwright.
Madam Chairman, I was wondering if the officers could tell us what the site are doing about water treatment. How will wastewater be treated, or what will happen to it?
Any further questions? No. Councillor Windrus, would you like to take this one as a...
I will, Chair. Thank you. I would like to propose a site visit. I think it's only fair to the objector that we do go and have a look because it is very close to his property, so I think that would be the way forward.
I would second that, if I may, because I don't know the area very well, Madam Chairman.
Thank you, Councillor Shales. Councillor Hope, you indicated?
Yeah, I was going to second that. That would be the second question.
Okay. Just bear with us a moment. Yeah. Okay. Councillor Wainwright, can I go with the move to the...
I'm struggling to find the application form, Councillor Wainwright, amongst all this paperwork, so as soon as I have, I'll tell you.
So it has been moved and seconded for a site visit, so I will put that to the vote. Sorry, Councillor Clare.
Point of information, Madam Chairman. Yeah, it's on the design and access statement, 5.6. Yeah, 5.6, water treatment.
Thank you, Councillor Clare. Apologies, Councillor, Mrs. Burr. It's been moved and seconded for a site visit. Our lights are flashing, so if you'd like to vote, please. Thank you. That is unanimous, and we will be going on a site visit. The date and time will be confirmed, and all residents will be told. Thank you. We shall now move on to agenda item 10, which is application at Low Meadow Church Lane, Welburn, pages 154 to 159 on your agenda.
Thank you, Chairman. There's one update I'd just like to add to the officer report, which Lucy is recommending approval, which is in relation to the Velux window relating to referred to in paragraph 2, number 2 on page 155, which is suggesting or recommending that the high-level Velux window is obscure glazed. And I'll show you the photos in a short while to explain why. In addition, apologies, Chairman, the location plan was omitted from the agenda paper. So what you have on the screen in front of you is the location of Low Meadow in the village. So this is the main village street in Welburn, and off in this direction is the A64. So this is, you're just coming into the built-up area, and the pub's just over here. This is the turn into Church Lane, which peters out as you go up the hill and comes around into this more modern, or relatively modern in the history of the village, group of properties on the eastern edge of the village. And in this location here is the existing dwelling, which is already undergoing some alterations, and members may recall this was the subject of an earlier application. We have received four responses in relation to the application. One was from the occupiers of Oak Cottage, who merely were making a point that they just wanted to confirm that the property was not being used for a commercial purpose. Well, I can confirm the scheme that we're dealing with is just for residential alterations to the property. We have also received objections from these two properties here, which are on the main, actually aspect front rear to the main village street. And perhaps the property most directly affected is Strathray, which is to the west of the application site. Moving onwards, this application, or there was an application before members in the relatively recent past, and part of that application was for a rearward extension to the main dwelling, and you'll see here there are two Velux roof lights. Those did not feature on the original planning application. And viewing from the rear, the rest of it is pretty much as it was. So the you've got a bungalow with a fairly low profile roof, which if you look on page 158, you can see how the section of the roof basically is panning out. And what we have is a situation where, following the grant of the last planning permission, the owner has sought to utilise some of the roof space. In utilising that roof space, hence the Velux windows, and that's where we became involved again. This is the view out of the first of the Velux window as you enter into the roof void from the original part of the bungalow. And as you can see, it's top opening Velux. And as you stand here, this is the adjacent property called Strath Way. So although it's got hedging and some fencing in this area here and much taller boundary treatments here, which I'll show you in a moment, there is a glimpse view through from that point there, because as you'll see from the cross section on page 158, this dysfunction as a window. It's at that height. And so there's potentially a view into the back garden of the adjacent property where previously there was none. And this is another view from that window, just nearer to the edge. So you get an idea of the rest of the flat roof that we were just looking at. As you move down the extension to the second window, well, the screening is screening. So you're just moving further down the extension. And this is the view from within the extension, looking from the older part of the building into the new extension, so you can get a feeling of how limited the headroom is in that area. So that's it, Chairman. It's a balanced recommendation of one of approval, but it is subject to that first Velux being obscure glazed. I think we do have a speaker.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. I've got registered to speak the applicant, Charles Foster. The middle button, yeah.
I would like to address the committee to clear up a few objections that I think are irrelevant and address a few others. When the original plans were put in, we wanted a window in a gable end on the north elevation, and this was opposed and planning was approved without it. So we got some new drawings drawn up with Velux windows in, and we thought the architect had submitted them, but he'd sent them to building control and they approved them, and we didn't realise they hadn't been sent to Rydell District Council until I contacted Rydell District Council about something else, and then we then followed it up with new plans. So the comments about building with no consideration and retrospective are not as clear as they seem, as it was never our intention, as we thought the plans were in place. The view out of the Velux window is of trees and a hedge, and the gap shows part drive and part garden. This part of the garden is roughly 5% of their full garden, which is not a lot, considering our neighbours on the north side overlook all of our back garden, which is 80% of our garden area. There is also a comment about running a business from the premises. This is untrue, as the plumbing business is carried out in customers' properties. We have just purchased a container in Bulmer, which we are going to use as storage for our business. There is a suggestion about altering the top hung Velux to be obscured. We don't really want to have to do this, as it might affect the light into the bedroom, but are happy to do it if it comes to it. The reason for the extension is to create a family home for me, my wife and the two boys. And that's it. Thank you.
Thank you. Yep, Gary.
Thank you, Chairman. Just following on from the last speaker's comments, I mean, clearly obscure glazing does tend to have some impact on light, but not a great amount in terms of what we're looking at is a relatively large Velux in the roof space. We're not proposing that the second Velux further down is obscure glazed, but I think in terms of this glimpse view, whilst I would say yes, it is a glimpse view of the rear garden of the adjacent property, it's a garden which currently isn't overlooked. And so in that sense, from this direction, it's an apparent overlooking issue that we need to wrestle with. The officer recommendation is that window should be obscured, and that is something that we would recommend. Obviously, you've heard that isn't something that the applicant is particularly happy about, but I would point out that there are two windows serving this bedroom, and the second one further down, which is more directly adjacent to the conifers, would still function as an open window.
Thank you. Are there any questions for the officer? No, so I'll go to the local member, Councillor Clary.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Thank you, Ms. Townsend, for your report. I think the two photographs, I have to say that the two, I can't quite differentiate between the two in terms of the impact. I certainly see the benefits of the use of the property, of the roof void. However, I have to say that, in my own opinion, and I'd like to possibly look at it a bit further before giving a decision, but I think both velluxes give an equal view over the neighbouring property. I can't quite see why we would put opaque glazing in one and not the other.
Back on that, if it was a question. Is that at this point here we're looking sideways towards what I think is essentially the driveway of the side of the property rather than the garden area as such. Panning backwards, I think here you get more of a view into the back garden, which is the garden area. I think the other area is more of a, how to describe it, an operational area at the side of the building, but I mean, I take your point.
They're
both side-facing windows.
Giving it an opinion on the question, I think that both windows give a view of the property that otherwise was not overlooked. And we're looking at this with the windows open. And I'd almost, I think I would, in order to accept this application, not only would I put opaque glazing in both windows, I'd ask them both to be fixed as well so that they can't be opened and then used as open windows.
We'd trip into the means of escape issue.
Fire escape,
at that point,
okay.
Yeah. That's the issue, yeah. I think when you look at the section on page 158, it's about that means of escape.
Yeah,
I'm pretty certain that's why building regs had said what they'd said.
I follow that. It was worth a shot. No, I think I would accept this and propose application be accepted, provided both windows, the condition of opaque glass was accepted, was put on both windows.
Councillor Mrs. Burr.
Thank you, Chairman. Yes, completely agree with our officer's report. We all don't like retrospective, but we all make mistakes, and I do think this sounds like a genuine mistake. Just a strong message from this committee that don't use it as a business. If you do use it as a business, make sure that you declare it or do something up and above board. I think the officers have got it absolutely right, and I'd like to move it as the report.
Thank you. Councillor Miss Andrews. Oh, no. Mr. Councillor Wainwright.
Yeah, Madam Chairman, if you look at the previous picture, I think you've got to be a very tall person to look out of that window and to look into somebody's, the previous one. Well, what's the other one then? That one. Haven't you? Got to be a very tall person to look into somebody's garden.
Because, yeah, I would just, I'm going to get all romantic here. If it's a bedroom, how about looking at the stars? They won't be able to see the stars if it's all... I can't see there being... did the Strelands... Is that the neighbour... They've complained about them overseeing their property? I would have said the complete opposite to Councillor Cleary, and that I wouldn't see a problem with both windows being left as glass. Sorry?
Can I just clarify that the officer recommendation is that that window be obscure glazed?
So
it's the one window rather than none. And it's just an omission from the conditions that were listed to the officer report. So that's the officer recommendation, just for the avoidance of any doubt on the matter. I think Councillor Cleary has sort of gone one step further and gone for the two.
So, Councillor Andrews, were you seconding the one, or were you wanting none? You were wanting... Okay, so you'll leave it to somebody else. Lovely, thank you. Councillor Windrus.
Thank you, Chairman. I'll second officer recommendation. A lot of the time the windows will probably be closed anyway, so... And they probably have something like a blind on them to stop the light getting in so you can get to sleep at this time of year anyway, so... I'm happy with that. Thank you.
Thank you. It has been moved and seconded as the officer recommendation, so I'll put that to the vote. That's 8-4 and 2 against, so the application has been approved. We'll move on to agenda item 11, which is application at Box Tree Cottage, Church End, Sheriff Hutton, pages 160 to 165 on your agenda. Gary.
Thank you, Chairman. No real updates on this particular application. The objection is from the neighbour, which is comprising the other half of the property, and this is the rear elevation where the proposed extension would be located. So this property is semi-detached, so that's the entire pair, and as you can see, that's the divide between the two properties. The proposed two-storey extension would go in this area here, so it's not hard on the boundary. There is some distance between the two properties, as you can see from the submitted plans. And in fact, in 2007, there was a planning permission for a very similar extension, which was granted but never constructed. And this application is very similar to that, although I think it's somewhere in the order of 600 millimetre further projection out to the rear. But that aside, we recommend approval to the application. We don't think that there is a conservation area or a design issue. The only issue really for consideration is the one of amenity and impact on the neighbour. And given the separation from the boundary, we think this is acceptable.
Thank you. Are there any questions for the officer? No. So I shall move to the local member, Councillor Hope.
Yeah, thank you, Chairman. This property is sort of out of the way, and I can't see that the extension is going to make a great difference to anybody else, even though you have had a letter of concern. But I'll move officer's recommendation.
Thank you. Councillor Mrs. Goodrick.
Thank you, Chairman. I'm happy to second that.
Thank you. It has been moved and seconded the officer recommendation of approval, so I'll put that to the vote. That's unanimous. The application has been approved. Moving on to agenda item 12, application at land adjacent 8 Valley View, Ampleforth, pages 166 to 175 on your agenda. Gary?
Chairman, That's the application site that we're looking at there, which is essentially a corner plot within Valley View, which is towards the southern end of the village of Ampleforth. Ex-local authority housing, I'll put it at sort of either interwar or post-war, so that vintage. This is the property in its entirety, which is a pair of semis, and what would be proposed here is a single-story, single detached dwelling in this area here. The reason that this application's on the agenda tonight is that we've received three letters of objection. Two of those are from properties who put onto the back of the site in Geldgate, which is further to the south, which I'll show you more of in the moment. But the separation distances are quite significant, I think it's fair to say. You get an idea of the spacing between these properties. The back gardens are actually quite substantial. And this is looking at the property end on. So the new dwelling would be located in the same sort of footprint as this one. And you can see as we pan round that the depth of the gardens are actually quite considerable. And this is also still within the application site, and it's some way distance that you see the properties in the back there, which are further south still. So possibly on there. It's not the best of location plans, Chairman, I think, on this site, but it's on page 171. So if you're able to pan that out on your iPads, you can see how far south the Geldgate properties are. There is also an objection in from the occupier of number 13 Valley View, which is further to the north of the application site, but their objection is loss of view of the hills beyond, which of course we can't sort of take a loss of a view into account in determining the application. But I hope this gives you a feel for how far the separation distances of the properties are to the south, who expressed some concerns about potential overlooking and loss of privacy. I think the officer assessment of that is, well, we've already got two stories back to back with numerous first floor windows facing back to each other, as opposed to the previous example where we had a bungalow that didn't have anything looking over it. So it's a question of the materiality of the additional windows. That aside, Chairman, this application is considered to be acceptable in its design approach, so we recommend approval.
Thank you. Is there any questions for the officer? No, we don't have the local member here. Does anybody want to take it? Councillor Burr?
I completely agree with our officers. It's a shame that the new houses don't have such large, beautiful gardens. I think even with an extension, a modest extension, this has still got plenty of ground. Move approval.
Thank you. It has been moved and seconded, so I shall put that to the vote. That's unanimous and the application has been approved. Moving on to agenda item 13, application at 18 The Mount, Malton, pages 176 to 190 on your agenda.
Thank you, Chairman. This particular application, as members can see, has been the subject of quite a number of objections for what on the face of it is a relatively modest addition to a property that's located within the Malton Conservation Area. I would like to stress that since the application was originally submitted, we have, as you'll have derived from the officer report, received an amended plan which has been the subject of further reconsultation, and that's the plan that you see on page 186. The main difference to that plan from the original plan is as proposed east elevation has two smaller windows now proposed in what internally is the kitchen. And so if you are able to pan back to the floor plans on page 184, and the floor plans haven't really changed, then you'll see, as you pan in on that, the main alterations are the entrance, lobby and utility room, which in that area currently there's quite a modest lean-to structure which is to be demolished and replaced with what essentially is a flat-roofed structure. But in the kitchen, which is within the existing structure of the existing property, where there is currently one window, there would be two, and those are the two windows that I just referred to you on the elevation. Originally, they were a four-pane sash window that was a little bit bigger. I've been inside that myself this afternoon, and the existing window, which I'll show you at a moment, in a moment, which is viewable on page 185. So if you look at the existing east elevation, you'll see there's a window which functions as a high-level window. I think it's important to note that within the internal structure, you will not actually then be able to stand near to that window because it's actually behind the kitchen work surfaces, so that you actually have to stand away from the window. So I don't actually think it will function to give any privacy issues. But I'll just show you some photographs now of the site and the surroundings. So this is a view. I'll get the location plan up for you. From the rear alleyway, which is behind properties in Middle Cave Road. So the properties in Middle Cave Road have effectively a split curtilage, and they front onto Middle Cave Road. There's some alleyways that go around the back, and these are wide enough for cars to access, and so these are all garages. Behind that, on higher ground, is the mount. And so that is the window that we're looking at, the existing window. As you see, it's all overgrown with ivy that I think they've cut off to kill. And you can just glimpse a section of the lean-to, which is the part of the building that would be demolished, and that's hard on the boundary. So close up, this is behind those garage buildings, or the nearest ones. This is the lean-to that is demolished and replaced with the flat roof structure, which is slightly higher. That window then is replaced not just with the new window, but also another one next to it in the existing wall. This is a view further back, taken from within the rear garden of number 15 Middle Cave Road. And this is within the garden. So here we've got the garden behind the back of the property. There's the driveway beyond that, and then you just catch the glimpse of the garages beyond that. When you're looking out of this existing window, which I had to get onto steps to do, you're looking back over the roofs of garages. That's the window. So my head height's about there, top of my head height. I had to get on steps to look out of the window. So that's it, really. There have been some concerns about the actual design approach. It is, these properties in the mount are very distinctive, as you know. They're quite distinctive properties. But the extension is relatively modest. It's set to the back of the site, and the flat-roofed addition, which you see on page 186, is very much screened from the adjacent public vantage points by the existing boundary screening on the mount. It's quite highly hedged and the like. Your conservation officer is happy with the design approach, so we don't think there are any design criticisms. We think the amenity impacts are such that there is no significant material loss of amenity. I'm happy to answer any questions, Chairman.
Thank you. Are there any questions for the officer? Councillor Burr.
Thank you. I know there's been a little bit of interest regarding this, and the neighbour responses, are they to this actual application that we're looking at? Because I know that we got some neighbour responses before, after the amendments. They're absolutely up to date.
Yeah, we've had 6 points in total.
Mm.
One objection from a resident in the mount, who I think was more on a design issue as an amenity issue. And we have reconsulted on the amended plans, but we have received 3 objections to the amended plans too, notwithstanding the fact that the windows in the existing elevation have been reduced in size, or proposed to be reduced in size. We've still received further objections, so that's as of yesterday.
Thank you. Any further questions? No? So I'll move to the local member, Councillor Mrs. Burr.
Thank you, Chairman. As I say, this has been subject to some interest, and I know our officers have worked quite hard to try and come to the best possible outcome. So I think on balance, I think I am going to go with our officers on this one, so I'll move approval. Thank you.
Councillor Cleary.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Yes, I'm happy to second that. I think that's the correct approach. Thank you.
Okay, that has nobody else wishes to speak. That has been moved and seconded, so I'll put that to the vote. That's unanimous, so the application has been approved. Moving on to agenda item 14, application at Montreal Grange, Colton Lane, Colton. Pages 191 to 203 on your agenda.
Yes, I'm conscious we've got a speaker, Madam Chairman. I'll be brief. The plans that you see before you on the agenda papers are actually a set of amended plans. We did have an earlier scheme which was for a larger, higher extension, which had more in the way of windows and some design details that we weren't particularly happy with. And also, we did receive an objection from a Mrs. I think it's Mrs. Hornsey, who objected to the original plans. Mrs. Hornsey has been notified of the amended plans, and that consultation period ran out yesterday. And has not made any further comments. We were under the impression that that had resolved her comments, but she, her objection, but she hasn't actually said one way or the other. But if members are able to just quickly look at pages 196 onwards, you'll see that the existing property is a combination of two-storey and single-storey structures. And indeed, the two-storey element has some dormer window detailing in which the original scheme also replicated. That's been largely revised to a scheme which has reduced the dormer windows down to roof light type of openings, and actually the two-storey element is now subordinate to the main pit on the front of the site. It's probably easiest for me to show you in the photographs, Chairman. But this is the existing building. As you can see, it's got a two-storey element. There's a single-storey element adjacent to the roadway. This is the entrance into the site, and this is the single-storey current arrangement at the rear. And this is looking back the other way, so that's your two-storey element. This section here, the main alteration is this essentially is like a covered walkway as part of the scheme. And the end element becomes more, much more glazed as part of that addition, which you'll see on the drawings. And this is just panning around so you get a feel for what the rest of the rear garden area currently looks like. So this bit will actually come up a little bit higher. There'll be a step down, and that makes first floor accommodation on that wing. This is a view from the adjacent property, and you're looking back at the profile of the two-storey element that I just showed you, looking at from the opposite direction. This is the single-storey element that will raise to about this height here. And panning across, that sort of continues at this height here. So as you can see, in terms of impact on the neighbouring property, there's already a high dividing wall between the two. And the amended plans have much reduced the impact of the windows that were originally proposed. So that's it really, Chairman. As amended, we recommend approval.
Thank you. I have the applicant registered to speak as Stephen Mosey.
Good evening. My name's Stephen Mosey, and I live at Montreal Grange with my wife and two children. The house was converted from a range of farm buildings in 2004. We purchased it in 2014. One of the main reasons for buying Montreal Grange was its close proximity to our animal feed mill, which I manage on behalf of my father. As a manager, I'm required to live as close as possible to the mill for security and operational reasons, so these proposed improvements are very important to us. It is already a good-sized family home. However, as our family has grown, we have become increasingly frustrated with the challenges faced by its internal layout. Our objective is not to overly increase the size of the house or increase the number of rooms, but just to improve the layout and to make best use of what is already there. At present, there is a void in the first floor with a very low ceiling, which effectively cuts the house in half. The bedrooms are currently remote from each other and only accessible via two separate staircases and a sitting room, which is currently positioned centrally within the dwelling and is effectively a circulation route and corridor. To make the house work for us in reconfiguring the internal layout, we are looking to add a single-storey extension to the rear and heighten the house in part, which will lift the corresponding ridge line by approximately 1.4 metres. In close consultation with the planning officer, care has been taken in the design to respect the size and scale, character and origins of the existing building. To the north elevation, the upper wall section will be traditionally clay brick faced above the existing stone. The detail retains a respect of the original single-storey nature of the building. This north elevation extension incorporates conservation roof lights and granary-style louvres windows to minimise the impact and reinforce the agricultural origins. The south elevation facing into the courtyard garden now includes a single-storey brick and clay pantile projection to improve circulation between west and east parts. This will not be visible from the public highway and will have no impact on the neighbouring Montreal farm, as there is a tall brick boundary wall separating the two properties. Similarly, the design of the raised section of the house means that the neighbour will not be overlooked at all. The high-level boundary walls will also ensure the proposal will have no impact on the neighbour in relation to shadowing or loss of light. We have incorporated into the east-facing gable a more contemporary design. This part of the house is not overlooked and will not impact any immediate neighbouring dwellings. We're happy that the proposal has received support from the parish council and
30 seconds left.
Paul Jackson, manager of the Hordian Hills, has no objections. Our designer worked closely with the planning officer to address any concerns, with the conclusion being that the application has support of the planning authority, for which we are grateful. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any questions for the officer? No. Councillor Wainwright, would you like to take this one as the closest member? Or?
Thank you, Madam Chairman. It isn't my ward, but it's adjacent to my ward. I think it's an excellent amendment to the original plans, and I have no cause in objecting to it, so I'd like to move approval.
Thank you. Councillor Burr.
Thank you, Chairman. Yes, I agree with the officer's report. I think families are often needing much more space nowadays, and what they're wanting to do is update to the modern way of living, and we're seeing a lot of people, rather than move into what they want, they actually develop and get what they want. So it's a nice sympathetic design, good renovation. I'd like to second that, thank you.
Councillor Mrs Shields, did you indicate? Okay, thank you. Councillor Hope, you indicated. Lovely. Okay. So it has been moved and seconded for approval, so I'll put that to the vote. That is unanimous and the application has been approved. We'll now move on to agenda item 15, which is the Minerals and Waste Joint Plan changes to the publication draft, pages 204 to 208 on your agenda.
Right, thank you, Chairman. There's not really an awful lot to add to this report. As you can see, it's another one of these consultations from the I nearly said the County Council, but it's the County Council, York and the Moors, all three. The consultation period is until the 6th of September, so It's another one of those that's, you know, you're going to make your comments fairly quick, although carry on anyway. Although you'll have noted from the committee report that the changes that are being consulted on are relatively modest and relatively minor. Jill Thompson, who couldn't be here tonight because she's on holiday, had drafted the report and has highlighted the two main changes which are in the proposed changes to the plan, which are in paragraph 6.4 and 6.5, relating to the plan making reference and recognising local landscape designations. That was a point that we actually made in our original comments, and it's a sort of an enhancement of that, is that, well, this isn't just about the nationally designated landscapes, but about the locally valued ones too. And you think particularly about the Wolds, the fringe of the Moors, areas of high landscape value, the Vale of Pickering, those sorts of things that appear in our own plan, which have been picked up. And the second point really is more of a point of accuracy, is to make reference to the waste transfer site, which is in Moulton in Schofield Lane, because it exists there, and it's a point of accuracy that should be noted in the minerals and waste plan. It isn't just a minerals plan, it's a waste plan too. Subject to that, we're recommending, as on paragraph 2.1, that the changes are supported.
Are there any questions for the Office of Council, Mrs. Burr? No, not quite, no questions. Okay, Council, Mrs. Burr, would you like to speak?
I'm very happy to support this. I think that for those of us that were on the committee that sent our objection, I want to declare an interest. I'm a county councillor. We sent our comments up to county, and as Gary has quite rightly pointed out, we did make reference to those particular areas. So I'm happy. I think that this just enhances what we said. It was unanimous from this committee, so I'd like to move it. Thank you.
Councillor Miss Andrews. Can you just put your microphone on, please?
Would help, wouldn't it? I haven't really had a lot to do with the mineral and joints waste plan, but I know colleagues of mine have in putting things in. So I did ask a colleague to give me some guidance on this. And is it okay to... The question is, okay, me too. So I'll just read a couple of things that he sent back to me, and then I've got a question about something as well. So, it's regard to reference paragraph 5.119F. Fracking is short for hydraulic fracturing. For the purposes of the MWJP, it is defined as fracturing of rock under hydraulic pressure, regardless of the volume of fracture fluid used. The government's definition in the Infrastructure Act refers to the use of less than 1,000 cubic metres of fluid per stage, or 10,000 cubic metres of fluid in total. This would allow many instances of hydraulic fracturing to be defined as not hydraulic fracturing, including the imminent test fracks at KM8, and therefore not subject to whatever protections the current fracking regulation may afford. RDC should therefore comment that they really fully endorse and support the definition in the draft of the MWJP, which I think is what you were asking for anyway, and he's just picking out certain things. The other thing, with no allowable evidence to base a policy on, the planning conditions must insist on robust initial and ongoing monitoring and measurement of every aspect of this industry. Realistic parameters cannot be based on guesswork, so therefore RDC should therefore support the approach. And I don't know whether he thinks he's meaning this on top of just rubber stamping it, actually, you know, that the plan be fluid and able to evolve through its lifetime to encompass any new evidence that comes to light from commercial development and expansion of the fracking industry, given that no such evidence currently exists in this country. The question I wanted to ask about the M17 was, the plan roughly accepts 10 wells per well pads per 100 square kilometres, 6 miles square, which seems very high and puts pads about every 3 miles, with potentially 20 to 50 wells on each. And does this really protect our high landscape value from industrial development as agreed in the Rydale local plan?
Well, I think That's the point, is that we've already objected and this is just a,
yeah,
a continuation of that.
Right. Okay, well, I think I've just wasted everybody's time, 5 minutes, but I just thought what he did send me this to ask. Thank you.
Well, thank you for that.
Councillor, Mrs. Bird, do you indicate again?
If you don't mind.
Absolutely fine.
For those of you who weren't on this committee, we had a very, very long discussion regarding fracking, and we thought that we'd tried to do as much as we absolutely possibly could, and it was unanimous, and we sent that up to county. So I think the worries that you brought tonight, if whoever sent that would like to listen to what we discussed, I do honestly feel that we have absolutely done what we could, and as I say, it was unanimous from this planning committee.
Does anybody else wish to speak? Okay, well, I shall second the recommendation from the chair and therefore put it to the vote. That's unanimous, the recommendation is approved. Agenda item 16, which is the enforcement report for land at Pasture Lane, Hovingham, pages 209 to 231 on your agenda.
Thank you, Chairman. The report is really what it says on the tin. We have a confirmed enforcement notice. We have a road that is not yet finished. After, I'm sure the local member can elaborate on how long. And we are proposing to take direct action. The report's been produced by Anthony to my right. If there are any particular detailed questions about the nature of the direct action and how that will be actually enacted. We have already gone through a procurement exercise, so we've established the actual cost of doing what we need to do, and we're looking for your authority to set about that and then retrieving the money, Chairman.
Is
there anything you want to add to that?
Anthony, is there anything you'd like to add?
Madam Chairman, I think that covers the main points. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any questions for the officers? Councillor Mrs. Goodrick.
Once it's approved tonight, how quickly can we get on with it? Because when I was in my division out campaigning, I was lobbied quite extensively to get this sorted out. And I know Councillor Wainwright has been very busy on that front as well.
I think the how soon is that we've already done the procurement exercise with the assistance of the County Council, who've confirmed that all of the bids are good bids. In other words, so when their anticipation is that when the work's carried out, the road would be adoptable. So that's the first question. And it was an exercise worth doing, because it teased out value out of the process. I think we can safely say that the quotes we originally were being quoted were way higher than what we've now got. The county have agreed that they would share the responsibility of the payment of that. So I think it's following this authority tonight, it's all systems go. I'm not sure how quickly, then it's a question of how quickly they can do it.
Anybody else wish to speak? No? Okay. Councillor Wayne, right.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. This is something that's dragged on for 2 years, and we issued an enforcement notice over a year ago, if you look at your agenda, and it's high time that we helped the residents in Pasture Lane and got the wearing surface put on, and then hopefully claim the money back from the owner of the land. So I have great pleasure in moving the officer recommendation under item 2 on our planning agenda, and that is that we take direct action.
Councillor Mrs. Goodrick.
I'll second that.
Thank you. It has been moved and seconded, so I shall put that to the vote. That's unanimous, and so it's agreed that direct action will take place. Agenda item 17 is a list of applications determined under delegated powers. Agenda item 18 is update of appeal decisions. Gary, is there anything you'd like to say?
Just to clarify, in fact, there are three appeal decisions, Chairman, not the two as listed on the agenda. So we have the first one, which was a property adjacent to the paddocks at Weaverthorpe. That appeal was purely about some of the conditions we'd imposed on the planning permission. We won them all, so that was good. Sometimes they're trickier than the straightforward appeals. The second appeal is for a dwelling or outside of Swinton, which again was dismissed because the inspector wasn't convinced of the essential needing to be met on site. And then the last one was an application which I think was purely speculative in open countryside outside of Scagglethorpe for two dwellings, which was a complete triumph, I think, and the inspector seemed to give it fairly short shrift. It was also a site directly next to the A64, so it was incredibly noisy. Again, that was also all three were dismissed. So we're currently running. We've struggled to get some decisions back from the inspectorate, I think largely because of the election and things being held back for that, but we're currently running for the year where we've had seven decisions and we've had six dismissals.
Lovely, thank you. Agenda item 19 is any other business, and I have no other business apart from to arrange the site visit. Bear with us while I grab a calendar. Reverting back to the Tuesday, presumably.
Yeah.
So it'll be the 12th. So it would be the 12th of September. Remind me, we're going to Wumbleton, aren't we?
Yeah.
10 o'clock. Is that okay? 10 o'clock on the.
I don't think it'll take us 12th. Too long.
No. That's lovely. Thank you all for attending, and I wish you a safe journey home, and I'll close the meeting. Mm-hmm.